On this episode of Finding Christ in Cinema, we ride our dragons into the Allegasian sunset as we look for Christian themes in Aragon. Does Sapphira symbolize the Holy Spirit? Is she the presence of God on Earth as well as the encourager for the people? All that and more in 3, 2, 1. Come on in. Admission is free. Grab a bowl of popcorn, extra butter, of course, and find a seat smack dab in the middle. It's time for Finding Christ in Cinema, episode number 16. I'm Michael.
And I'm Brendan.
Join us, and together we'll dig deeper into the silver screen classics of yesteryear, as well as the box office hits of today. We'll take a closer look at the stories they tell and see if we find the face of Jesus looking back. We're going to explore the deeper meanings of these films, their plots and their twists, the characters and their choices, and how we can relate them to the gospel of salvation and ultimately our Christian walk. You are tuned in to Finding Christ in Cinema on the GCT Network.
This is your Great Commission transmission.
Back on schedule, baby.
Woohoo!
Every week we're back in the studio. Now we should be. This should be a lot smoother than the last time. We should get out of here in about 45 minutes. What do you say?
Yeah. 45 minutes.
Hey, you know what I did last week for the first time ever,
Michael? What did you do?
I went laser tagging. Laser.
That was your first time?
That was my first time ever. Yes. My oldest daughter was having a birthday party. It was a couple of weeks or a week after her birthday, but this was the first time everybody could get together. I drove them from our home deep in the heart of Bedford County. We went to Franklin, Tennessee.
Oh, yeah.
And have you ever been to this sports complex up there?
Not to that one, no.
Okay. It is huge. They're doing hockey there and like massive indoor basketball courts and all this stuff. And then this laser tag thing up there. And we used a Groupon. And so we went there.
Those things come in handy.
Those are nice. So we did 4 rounds of that stuff. And, my wife said, who do you want to take you guys? Do you want me or Dad to go? And my daughter said, I want Dad to go because he's funny. And so I went up there with a whole minivan full of people and
rumpus teenagers.
And I didn't win.
Of course not.
But I had a good time.
You're the old guy. You're not going to win against those kids.
Hey. Seasoned and wizened.
Well, that's true. Maybe you're more the strategic.
Yes,
battler.
That's what I
is
thought.
That how, is that how you
that's
play?
That's what I thought. The problem is that they're all little kids and skinny and scrawny, and I have my torso is a little bit wider, and so the targets were easier to hit. What have you been up to,
Michael?
Yes,
I want to get this out there first and foremost. Wolfie,
yes,
Wolfie. It is the children's theater production here in Bedford County at the Fly Arts Center in Shelbyville. We're coming up hot. We got 2 weeks left.
Oh, only 2 weeks.
Only 2 weeks.
So that is, and because we added an extra rehearsal each week, so we're talking 6 more rehearsals.
Let's see. Well, there's tonight.
Okay,
and then Monday, Tuesday, Thursday of next week, and then Monday, Tuesday of the week after, and that's it.
Are we going to be ready? So,
we're going to be as ready as we can.
I have 3 of my kids involved in this production.
Yeah, I have one of myself involved. So,
wait, do the mother again?
Oh, Red, dear, I just don't like you hanging out with that boy. He's so unusual.
The Brooklyn Jewish mother. That's absolutely great.
Okay, well, just to give that voice a little story.
Okay.
A couple times, the actress playing Little Red Riding Hood's mother couldn't make it for some reason or another. So I would fill in for the mother. And I don't know why I thought of using that voice. It just sounded so appropriate.
Yeah.
He's so unusual.
Yes,
what are you doing?
It is perfect. And Brenda, being a true professional in the field, in the craft. Did you give us the vital statistics, though? All the pertinent information that we need?
I will now.
Okay.
The performance times, the show dates, July 18th and 19th at 7 p.m., and July 20th at 2 p.m.
Okay.
Wait, did I just say 7 a.m.?
7 p.m. is what you said.
7 p.m., good, okay. That's the Friday, Saturday, 18th and 19th at 7, Sunday afternoon at 2 o'clock. Ticket prices are $8 for the middle section and $6 for either of the side sections, and kids 12 and under are admitted for half price.
Nice. And folks, you want the middle section. Just step up, pay the extra $2.
Yeah, I mean, you'll want it. It's a thrust theater.
Is that?
Well, Michael, let me tell you.
Oh, great. I love working with a professional.
It's a theater that has audience on three sides.
Okay.
As opposed to the proscenium, which the audience is just on one side.
Okay, what's the technical term for theater in the round? Is there one?
That is theater in the round.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
Is that what the Greeks would call it?
That's not what the Greeks would call it. I can't. Oh, pop quiz. Pop quiz.
Turn in your diploma.
Oh, man.
your degree.
No, we just always call it theater in the round.
Yes,
so.
And I love theater in the round, by the way.
Or no, arena.
Okay.
Arena theater. I know if I talked about it a little bit, I'd remember.
See, there you go. And that is called killing dead air.
Yes.
You talk about it until somebody can remember what they were going to say. Hey, here's what I wanted to say, and I forgot last week. I got a great gift for Father's Day, something that we had talked about on a previous episode.
Oh, you got it for Father's Day?
I did.
Aww.
Along with my ascot that I was wearing last
yes.
episode.
Okay, I thought so. Okay.
I got the new translation of Beowulf by J.R.R. Tolkien. It's beautiful, Brendan, sitting up there on the shelf if you're watching the video.
It looks good. It looks good.
I have my Tolkien shelf, or I have at least one, and but I'm not diving into it yet, Brendan, because I am reading right now no less than 7 books, and I got to get through. I mean, and some of them are super heavy, of them are very fun, such as the Star Wars,
the Thrawn
trilogy.
Thrawn, yeah.
Yes, I'm finishing up on the second book, and I'm going to start the third probably tonight. But anyway, I wanted everybody to know that now that I have Tolkien's Beowulf, we can be watching for the movie. Brendan, you said something before the show started that they should, because that Robert Zemeckis was a travesty.
Okay, it was just hard to watch.
It terrible. But Brendan said that we need to get our good friend Peter Jackson. Very, very good friend. In fact, every time he listens to the show, he sends us a message.
It's pretty mind-blowing.
I agree.
Me too. And I'm glad he calls in like that.
Every time.
It's so nice of him.
But if he takes on a new adaptation of Beowulf, it would keep that consistency with the you know, obviously Beowulf isn't Tolkien's work, but this is the definitive
translation. His translation. Yes. And that's
yes. What else?
Well, there'll be no Monday movie review this week.
Why?
Michael.
Why?
Because the plan was to review Transformers Age of Extinction.
And you didn't get a chance to see it?
Oh, no, I saw it.
Oh, you did?
Ooh.
You were so overwhelmed?
I was so overwhelmed, not with what you were about to say, which had to be something positive. No, I was so overwhelmed with how terrible it was.
Is that what you said?
In my heart, that was what I was saying. Silently in the movie, though, in the theater, I was rolling my eyes. I was.
Here's a sound clip I need to get. Princess Bride, when they bring out Princess Buttercup, like the second time when a Prince Humperdinck presents her, and that one old lady comes out, boo.
yes, her.
So you were saying that in your heart.
And actually, I actually kind of broke my own rule about talking during a movie. I remember at one point I went, oh, come on. I can't remember what it was, but I remember that. And then I remember looking around, making sure
no one
heard me.
What a shame, though. What a shame.
Oh, it's – now, don't get me wrong. The graphics, the CG, it's,
of course.
That's all good.
Yeah.
That's top notch.
State of the art.
But there's no story to it. Like – oh, I'll take that back. There is a story. It just takes 2 hours from it to go to exposition to rising action. 2 hours. And the film's only 2 hours and 45 minutes long.
Hey, that budget didn't go to script.
Ugh, no, it sure did not.
No, it went to all... Well, those movies, the CGI is so intensive. I mean, that's where all the money goes.
Yeah.
You know.
And that's where the fanboys come out to see, you know?
But now, Mark Wahlberg, he don't come cheap. Who was the guy?
Which one? Oh, Kelsey Grammer?
No. Well, he doesn't come cheap either.
No,
he and neither does is it Stanley?
Stanley Tucci? Yeah,
he doesn't come cheap either.
No, and there.
Well, now, I'm sorry, but guys, we just have no money left over for a script. What do you got?
Here I was in the bathroom 5 minutes ago, and I just typed something. Take it.
Wow, what a shame.
But now, don't get me wrong. Kelsey Grammer,
yeah,
he was good. Stanley Tucci, he was good. Mark Wahlberg, however, I wasn't impressed.
Really?
No.
The relationship between he and his daughter, which from what I've read, is a strained relationship to begin with.
It is, and like I get it, I get the fact that it's a strained relationship. I don't need it to be, you know, presented to me 2 hours before anything changes.
Okay.
For 2 hours. It's like we're given these, you know, this exposition, and then nothing happens except action, 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 yeah, until, now we're moving along. Okay.
I gotcha.
So it was, for me, it was not MMR material.
Okay, no Monday movie review this week. We haven't had a family movie night in weeks and weeks, so who knows when the next one of those will be. But we did make a decision, Brendan and I, and we have set up a standalone Facebook page for Finding Christ in Cinema.
That's right.
Okay, so you can go to facebook.com/Christ in Cinema and join us over there. This gives us an opportunity to break it out from the Great Commission Transmission Network so that we can get even more geeky, you know?
Yes.
Right? And because everybody that is going to be like the Finding Christ in Cinema page knows what they're going to get. It's going to be a bunch of movie stuff, right?
Mm-hmm,
and how we can tie that into Christianity. So again, if you are on Facebook, and we know that you are, let's just face it.
Let's face it. You're on Facebook.
Oh, that was a good pun. The puns are that's real punny.
Now, is this the studio audience that we rented from Seinfeld? Because it sounds like it.
Is it that same lady?
I think so.
Okay. So anyway, there you go. Facebook.
And I want to give a shout out to David over at Theonauts.
Yay!
I thought you were going to hit the button. There you go, David. There you go. In the last Theonauts episode, I can't remember which one it was. Was it their 11th?
Yes.
Their most recent. Mm-hmm. I'm not sure. They're going to release number 12 today.
Yes.
On Thursday. And, you know, last time he gave a shout out to the book of Brendan.com.
Mm-hmm.
So thank you for that. I actually got a new post up last night. I was burning the midnight oil because Burger King yesterday released the Proud Whopper.
Mm.
And I'm just going to let you look at that and see what you think.
Well, you know what? Last episode on Theonauts, again, that's theonauts.podbean.com.
Yeah.
They had another, in fact, they stepped up to the plate, David and Jeremiah.
They did.
Here came the pitch. Boom! It's going! It's over! It's over the wall! Grand slam!
Yes.
They're talking about pornography
built my cracker jacks
and wow, you know, the struggle with that and how we need to approach people with love. You know, that coincided great with another blog post that I had read last week that in the church, what better place is there to find people that you can say, you know what, I have a problem with pornography and I'm really struggling with it, and find people that are willing to help you and not judge you.
Right.
There
is no better place.
There should be.
Just to reiterate what you're saying, there is no. Well, okay, yes, there should be
no better place to go and get support and help.
Oh, and really quick, more on Theonauts. Today's episode, it will be about church history, and that I'm excited for.
Oh, yeah.
Because there was a, I can't remember who it was or what it was, but a while back there was this, it's a documentary called The God Who Wasn't There. And they do.
I've heard of that.
They do street interviews. I saw it. I'm contemplating on bringing it to FCC. But they do street interviews, and the people they interviewed know nothing about church history. And they, like, not even from Acts. Not even if it's right there. And it points out a problem, I think, within the church that, yeah, a lot of people don't know a lot about how the church has moved from Acts, from Pentecost, to what we have today.
Amen.
So, so Theonauts, guys, I'm excited for this episode.
Looking forward to that. Brendan, are you ready for some real news? Roll it!
3 more villains have been added to the Batman versus Superman roster.
Oh my goodness.
I know. According to El Mayembe.
How long did we said this was going to be a 2-hour and 40-minute movie? We need to bump that up.
So,
okay. Sorry. Go ahead. Know,
okay. According to El Mayembe, that's my pronunciation of that, of the Latino Review. The list of notable characters in Zack Snyder's latest DC film just keeps growing. But these antagonists will test even the most ardent comic book fan.
Okay.
First, there's Dr. Victor, not Victor Freeze. I don't know why I said doctor. It's not Dr. Freeze, not Mr. Freeze. It's Victor Zsasz.
Hmm.
And this is a Gotham-based serial killer who carves tally marks on his own body of his victims.
Yes, yes, yes.
Okay. Then there's Morgan Edge, Lex Luthor's sleazeball public relations executive.
Okay. Not familiar with him.
Nope, nope. And at last, we have David Kane, an assassin in his 50s who teams up with Lex Luthor's bodyguard to assassinate someone.
Oh, what? Now I haven't been in collected comic books in so many years that maybe I should know all these names, but I don't. Interesting stuff. Anything else about that?
This film cannot wait. Wait, excuse me. I cannot wait for this film
there
anymore.
See, he's speechless. He's dumbfounded. Hey, you know what? Speaking of heroes, Deadline.com reports that Warner Brothers is bringing Homer's Odyssey to the big screen, and all the people say...
Yep.
It's right up there behind me on the bookcase as well. The epic poem, The Odyssey, about the Greek king who returns home after a decade-long Trojan War, will be directed by Russian filmmaker Fyodor Bondarchuk. Let me see. I know I speak like Russian. Bondarchuk. Okay, the son of Oscar-winning Sergei Bondarchuk. Last fall, he directed Stalingrad, a World War II film about a group of Russian soldiers who hold off Nazi troops while protecting a young woman in the increasingly hostile campaign. Hey, did you ever see that movie, Stalingrad?
No.
I remember seeing the trailer for it and saying, I need to see that. And a great scene, all these tanks and stuff. And apparently nothing was CG in that film. It was so I want to see that. So will be keeping our eye on Odysseus for sure.
Really, really quick, did you see the Armand Asante version?
No.
It's not bad.
Okay.
It is not bad. Well, I don't want to put that one on the list.
A raving review from Mr. Brendan Taylor. It's not bad.
It's not bad. maybe 3.5 to 4 stars.
Okay.
Okay. Next up, new details for Better Call Saul have emerged. Better Call Saul is the spinoff series that follows the slimy yet satisfying lawyer Saul Goodman, as played by Bob Odenkirk from Breaking Bad. According to James White at Empire Online, the timeline of Better Call Saul will be, quote, flexible, which means that, I'm going to summarize the article, that the story arc of Better Call Saul will take place before, during, and after that of Breaking Bad.
Interesting.
Which opens the doors for certain characters who died in Breaking Bad to come back.
Hey!
And that's going to be a loop because every character that dies has their own, I'll say, well-crafted death.
Okay.
So, I'm excited. I know one guy who's already coming back. This is in the article. Jonathan Banks, but we Breaking Bad fans know him as the criminal handyman.
Dr. Freeze.
No, he's not Dr. Freeze. He is the criminal handyman, Mike Ehrmantraut.
Okay.
That doesn't mean anything to you, Michael.
No.
That's fine. But, guys, Breaking Bad fans, I know you're out there. Mike will be back. And Better Call Saul.
You know what? We have more fans of.
And, I know.
And baby, I'm loaded this week. First up, a rumor mill. Little talk, little, big, little talk, little cheek, cheek, cheek.
talk a lot, pick a little more.
StarWarsUnderworld.com reports Carrie Fisher's daughter, Billie Lord, cast in Star Wars Episode 7. Latino Review has another casting rumor, they say, claiming that Carrie Fisher's daughter, Billie Lord, that's L-O-U-R-D with no E, has joined the cast. Previous speculation had centered around Daisy Ridley and whether or not she would be playing the part of Han and Leia's daughter. Now, so obviously there's a little bit of, you know, hey, right? They admit her part, what's her name again? Billie. Her part could be just a cameo, but how awesome would it be for Leia's daughter to be played by Fisher's daughter?
That would be quite appropriate.
It would. And I've got all kinds of spelling errors in there that I need to fix. Okay, carry on.
Here's one for you. The oh, I lost my place. Hold on.
Oh,
the United States' first 4D movie theater opened this past weekend.
What?
Yes.
Is it Smell-O-Vision?
Yes, that and so much more.
Okay.
Eric Eisenberg from CinemaBlend.com. He reports, well, he follows Yahoo in their reporting of this, hold on, I gotta make sure I say it right.
Okay.
This 4DX, which for the first time ever was used in the U.S. this past weekend, created by the South Korean company CJ4Dplex, the technology works by engaging all five senses of a person's all five of a person's senses while watching a movie. The chairs are set up to move around and shake. Theaters can replicate various sounds and smells, and the seats even are programmed to blow air and water on the audience, which is all, of course, synced up to whatever movie is playing on screen.
This is a Disneyland attraction.
Woo.
Disneyland has had this for years.
Yeah, Disney Gatlinburg's had it for years.
Oh, well.
Yeah, them, too.
I guess Disney must have
copied Gatlinburg. Let's be honest. the first film to premiere with this style theater is Captain America, The Winter Soldier.
Hey!
And some of the 4D effects included air blowing in your face as the Black Widow fired bullets, quick chair jolts as Captain America throws his shield around to take down bad guys, and even a little splash as Nick Fury drives through a puddle.
Do you have a last word on that?
I want to go to one. I want to see Avatar in a 4D.
No.
You want to see Star Wars, don't you?
I do.
Okay.
Spoiler alert, another one from StarWarsUnderworld.com. Andy Serkis spills the beans on Star Wars Episode 7 on Conan O'Brien's show.
Security is so tight on that film, I don't know what it is you're doing. I don't think you're allowed to say anything.
Well, actually, I'm going to spill the beans.
Good, let's go.
I'm absolutely not going to spill the beans. No, I'm really sorry. I'd love to tell you all about it, but we are so heavily embargoed. You know, you can't even go to the washroom with the script. You know, you go into a room to read the script. There's CCTV cameras. You have to memorize your lines. And you go, no, I'm actually making it all up. It's not as bad as I'm saying. But it kind of feels
you
like
you just
that.
Lie constantly, don't you? And then this, well, that doesn't happen. Well, yes, it does.
For the entire video clip, make sure you find your way over to our show notes, which will be linked to in the blog post on ChristInCinema.com.
Michael, you actually had me excited for Andy Serkis spilling the beans.
He did.
He did not.
Oh, well.
It was a setup.
You have to watch the whole video clip.
Okay. Okay. All right. Well, filming on the latest James Bond film has reportedly been delayed thanks to an unimpressive script.
Okay.
They were supposed to start filming this summer. However, because the script lacks... The script lacks the action that James Bond fans expect. It's been delayed till December.
Call up Michael Bay.
No. Well, I think one drop of Michael Bay action will just add at least another 2 hours of non-plot driven.
So all you 007 fans out there, you're going to have to wait. Is that the moral of the story?
That is the moral, yep.
Sci-fi now.co.uk. Motion capture king Andy Serkis talks about his role in Star Wars Episode 7. This is not a tease, Brendan.
So this one's the real thing.
This one had some actual
information. This
one's
the real thing. Okay.
In an exclusive interview with Sci-Fi Now, Andy Serkis revealed his motion capture studio and consulting firm, Imaginarium, is supplying actors along with Andy playing a character in Episode 7. Quote, J.J. Abrams and I met, and we just had this incredible kind of vibe between us. J.J. said, you'd fit really well in this universe. And I said, I think I probably could. And I echo the sentiment there, Mr. J.J. Abrams. I think that I could fit very well into the Star Wars universe. Why don't you go ahead and shoot me an email to Michael at gctnetwork.com.
Oh, that was sly. That was sly, sir. Very sly. So last week we talked about this new Frankenstein movie coming out.
Yes.
With Daniel Radcliffe as Igor and James McAvoy playing Dr.
Bela Lugosi.
No.
Mr. Tumnus.
No. With James McAvoy playing Victor Frankenstein.
Okay.
Well, this monster movie trend is getting some momentum because we now have a new Dracula film coming out.
Yes, we do.
Dracula Untold from Universal Pictures. And this past week, June 29th, that was last Saturday. No, that was Sunday. That was Sunday, yes. They released the trailer.
Yep.
And I got it loaded up.
Oh, you do? Okay, yes. Let me turn on your volume on your computer. Here we go.
Okay. Oh, I hit the space bar for play and it jumped down to the bottom of the page.
Dead air, folks, but we have it under control. Maybe. No?
It should be playing. It's playing right now.
Oh, hold on. Start it again. Here we go. You ready?
Yeah.
Go.
My father was a great man. A hero, so they say. Sometimes the world doesn't need another hero. Sometimes what it needs is a monster. My prince.
I've missed you.
Something troubles you.
The Sultan is preparing for battle. He requires 1,000 boys for his army, including your son.
Run to your mother.
Look away!
You can't protect us.
I'll find a way.
I have been waiting an eternity for a man of your strength to arrive.
Welcome to your life.
What is it you are seeking?
I want the power to destroy my enemies and save my family.
There's no turning back.
Drink, Dracula.
Welcome to your life.
What's happening to you?
I'm the thing men fear. Not a ghost. Something else.
Devil inside him!
Do you think you are alive because you can fight? You are alive because of what I did to save you!
The world.
Never forget who I am.
Pretty heavy duty.
Oh, man.
What are your thoughts on that?
I'm kind of excited.
Why is that?
Just because it's a nice origin story. Now, it doesn't follow Vlad the Impaler's actual biography. This isn't a biopic. This is a fictionalized story of how the movie character Dracula becomes Dracula. And it just looks good.
Yeah, I watched that the other day, and I was thinking, You know, I really like, and you know, Luke Evans, and I like monster movies and things like that. And I'm thinking, I wonder how we can find Christian themes in that. And watching it the second time, I think I might have an angle on that for some time in the future.
Well, now I haven't given much more thought to it than this thought, but Tolkien himself, he likes the use of monsters and fantasy characters and fictionalized fantasy lands, and they can be used to help better understand things.
We both read a great blog post from somewhere months ago regarding that same subject.
Yeah.
I'm sure I have it saved in my Evernote or what have you. I'm going to have to revisit that and see what we can pull out. Hey, you ready?
Yep.
Pick a little, talk a little, pick a little, talk a little, cheek, 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 talk a lot, pick a little more.
Oh, that was, I used the wrong one.
I love those ladies, by the way.
But, well, you know what? It's part of this anyhow. Variety.com says Andy Serkis working closely with Mark, Dr. Bruce Banner, Ruffalo. In an interview with Variety, Andy Serkis says that his company, Imaginarium, we just talked about, is acting as consultant on the upcoming Avengers Age of Ultron film. Quote, "The Imaginarium is the performance capture consultant, and I'm playing a role in the Avengers. I've been working closely with Mark Ruffalo." Okay, this ties directly in rumor mill that I played just a moment ago that I shouldn't have. I should trigger it now, but I'm not going to do it again. FirstShowing.net is a trip to Planet Hulk in Marvel's plans. On episode 9 of Finding Christ in Cinema, the rumor mill reported claims by world-famous bodybuilder and TV's Incredible Hulk, Lou Ferrigno, that a new Hulk movie was in the works. A movie that actor Mark Ruffalo claimed to have no knowledge of. The rumors haven't died down, though, Brendan. Now the rumors are centering around a storyline called Planet Hulk, a 2006 comic arc written by Greg Pak. You can catch the animated version on Netflix. And the synopsis is, when Earth's superheroes exile the volatile Incredible Hulk to a distant planet called Sakaar, the muscle-bound green monster is sold into slavery.
What?
Yeah!
Oh, man.
Add that to your Netflix watch list. It is now firmly planted in mine. Anything else?
No. Let's go to the movies.
Let's go. Okay.
Our beautiful lands have been ravaged by a ruthless king. And our people live under the shadow of tyranny.
As long as I am king, disloyalty will be punishable by death.
There is no one left for you to fear, my king.
It wasn't always like that. There was a time when the world lived in peace, protected by warriors astride mighty dragons. They are nothing but stories now. All we have is hope that a dragon will be born again, and one will rise to lead us to freedom.
I won what was stolen from me. Without it, I'm vulnerable.
Your day will come too, Aragorn, and you will decide for yourself the kind of life you wish to lead.
You're the only one who can save us.
I know your story is true.
You're the next Dragon Rider.
When they learn that the legend is real, they will challenge me.
The king won't rest until your dragon is killed.
Gather my army. Leave no one alive.
She helped me. Won't the king kill you too?
He'll kill us all if you don't survive. Magic comes from dragons. Flows through the riders who command them.
Be strong, Aragorn. They will follow you wherever you want them to follow.
One false move, one reckless decision, and everything is lost.
I'm the rider, and I say we go.
Tell all our people that the battle we have prepared for has come to us.
We'll fight as one!
We'll be right back.
Brendan, neither one of us had seen this movie before embarking on this journey, right?
Right.
What was your thoughts?
I loved it.
Why?
I really did. Well, first thing, I just want to mention the acting. Acting is what I go for when I look for a film, which is why I was so depressed with Mark Wahlberg.
poor Mark.
Poor Marky Mark. Jeremy Irons.
Awesome.
Standout performance.
Yes.
Yes. And I think... I am pretty much convinced that John Malkovich, who is also a great actor.
Yes.
I think he took some lessons from Jeremy Irons on how to play an evil ruler.
Really?
Really. I something deep. This is, Michael, this is the Lion King fan within me screaming, now wait a minute, John Malkovich, you got that from Scar. And I it wouldn't surprise me, I'm not saying this happened, but it wouldn't surprise me if Jeremy Irons and John Malkovich kind of, you know, got together, and I can just see Jeremy saying, John, come here.
Hey, well, that's what actors do, don't they?
That is what actors,
You're of a certain disposition,
yeah,
let's say.
A certain type of actor will help another actor find their character.
And a certain type of actor will accept help from other actors.
Well, yeah, and that's the main thing is accepting help once you realize you need it. And I'm not saying John Malkovich needed any help. I'm just saying there's an awful, awful big similarity in the way John Malkovich plays Galbatorix and how Jeremy Irons played Scar back in The Lion King.
Oh, he was Scar. See, I need to watch
Scar.
Lion
yes,
King.
That's why I brought
only
that up.
I watched Lion King once or twice. I don't like the movie. Mm. It's brown. The whole thing is depressing and brown. Mm. But I do like. I am suffering without my stone. Do not prolong my suffering. Oh man, yes, John Malkovich is a great actor.
True.
Okay, but Jeremy Irons. Now that I know who Jeremy Irons is. That, Alfred in the new Batman versus Superman.
Yes.
Okay, I'm excited.
Yes. Also, that's just more Shakespearean actors using that experience.
Yeah.
Also, the kids, Aragorn, Ed Spilliers, I think that's how you say his name. He did great. The girl that played Arya, Sienna Gilroy.
Something like that, yeah.
Something, not Kilroy, but Gilroy.
Yeah.
You know, they were great. And see, that and Rachel Weisz. As the voice of Saphira.
Yes.
Yeah, that was good. The CG looked really good. I thought it did. I thought it was... It's not as advanced. Then again, this is from 2006.
2006.
You know, and for 2006, I think it looked pretty good.
Yeah. Yeah. Yep. My wife is a... And my daughter, my oldest daughter, are big fans of the book series. And so they... My wife especially totally disappointed with the film.
Well, of course.
Well, but I mean, major changes. And if you go this film, there will we'll get to that a little bit later on. But nobody liked this film. Anybody that had read the book, I didn't want to like the film when we watched it as a family movie night many years ago because it was being touted and compared to Tolkien. Okay, I don't take that lightly.
No.
Okay, and so if you're going to compare it to Tolkien, you had better have something to back it up. And and at that time, you know, I wasn't interested. I should have been, but you know, the opening couple of scenes, which I'm going to talk about a little bit later on, that as well. I'm checking out, and I fell asleep in the chair. Well, watching it for the first time, really, with new eyes. The other, hey, a Matrix. It's the first time I've seen. I used them.
You went down the rabbit hole.
Yes. And the first time I used my eyes on this movie was just the other day. And it was awesome. Now, of course, I haven't read the books. So,
well, neither have I. And apparently, it's not a trilogy like I thought it was. There are four books.
Okay.
So, we'll have to look into that.
Yeah.
Anything else?
Nope.
All right. Well, then, here's my point for this film. How you guys can use this film as a witnessing tool in sharing the gospel.
Good.
And I'm going to use the Michael's phrase, linchpin text.
Okay.
And that is Isaiah 40:31.
What's that?
But they who wait for the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall mount up with wings like eagles. They shall run and not be weary. They shall walk and not faint.
Ooh.
Now, any Remember the Titans fans, you guys remember that scene in the movie Remember the Titans where they use this verse to encourage each other. And okay, Michael hasn't seen Remember the Titans. We're gonna
That's about sports, right?
We're gonna add it to the list. Okay. We're gonna add it to the list.
Oh no!
And the point I want to bring with this verse is that Sapphira represents the Holy Spirit.
Yes, please continue.
So maybe at the end of this episode, we'll be saying, we shall mount up with wings of dragons.
Yeah, I like that.
Oh, I'm sorry. Dragons in the Bible don't have that good reputation. And in fact, Sapphira has two parts of the Holy Spirit that can be seen within her. The first part, she is the source of magic on Earth.
There's no such thing as magic.
Uncle Dursley, if you do not go back to your cabin under the stairs.
Hey, you're making him angry.
Yeah, well, you know what? He's going to have to deal with it.
Okay.
And also,
yes,
Sapphira is an encourager. She brings encouragement to the Varden.
Lifts their spirits.
Puts the fire back into them.
Oh.
And this, okay.
Okay.
First part. Sapphira, as a source of magic on Earth.
There's no such thing as magic.
Richard.
We're talking a movie here. It's make-believe. We're all aware that this is make-believe. Carry on, Brendan.
I just love it when Uncle Dursley has something to say.
Man, he's tenacious.
He is. Number two sound clip.
Oh, number two.
Yep.
You ready?
Yes.
Burns slowly. My head. It feels like I've been kicked by a horse. What happened?
Most new dragon riders take years to learn what you discovered by instinct.
What was that?
Magic.
I was only reacting.
Oh, okay. Now, that little exchange of dialogue takes place right after... Brom, by the way, I love that Jeremy Irons' character is Brom.
Yes.
Represent.
Great.
Brom and Aragorn, they fight off the incoming Razak army.
Yes.
And Aragorn, out of nowhere, pulls out this regular arrow at first.
Says something.
He says something. We'll talk about that one later. He says something, and the arrow explodes. Well, at first, it is inflamed in this beautiful blue flame, and he shoots it at the army that's chasing him, and it explodes, knocks them out, but it also knocks him out, knocks him unconscious. And that bit of dialogue we just heard, that's him waking up, you know, oh, my head hurts, what just happened? And Brahm explains to him, look, you've just been advanced. It takes some magicians so many years to learn what you just did last night based on instinct. And Aragorn even himself says, I was only reacting.
Right.
So it's almost like it was a natural part of his instinct, of his natural instinct to...
His makeup?
His makeup, yes, I like that.
His nature?
That's what I was looking for. Yes, okay. Now, in this world, where does magic come from?
There's no such thing as magic.
Oops. Gosh, how does he keep getting in here? I'm sorry.
I don't know.
Oh, okay. Where does magic come from?
Magic comes from dragons. It flows through the riders who command them.
Okay, well, there's our answer right there. Magic comes from dragons. All these dragons and their each respective dragon rider... That's the conduit. The riders are these conduits for these magical powers.
Right.
In the same way, Christians are conduits for the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
And, you know, we may not have magical powers that we can set arrows on fire, but the fruit of the Spirit is love. Joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. We have the fruits of the Spirit. Oh, and actually a friend pointed this out to me. We have the fruit. It's not many different fruits. It all stems from the same fruit, one singular fruit. And we have these things as our power on earth.
Mm-hmm.
Michael, you look like you have something.
No. I'm biting my tongue. I'm liking where you're going.
Okay.
Because I'm going to talk about, well, of course, we're grafted into the branch, and we're going to produce the fruit of what the branch is producing, and the life giver to the branch. And we can, man, you are taking, keep going.
Okay. Well, that's that little tidbit. You know, and just to conclude that point, you know, once Aragorn is one with Saphira, his powers will be at their fullest.
Mm-hmm.
Once he is completely one. In like manner, once we become one with the Holy Spirit, our powers, that is, our ability to uphold the fruit of the Spirit, that will be, they will be at their fullest.
Doesn't it remind you a little bit of Pentecost in Acts 2?
Yeah, it does. It does, yes.
When the day of Pentecost had come, they were all together in one place. You know, they were frightened. These disciples were afraid. They were locked up in a place and expecting the worst to come. But the worst didn't come. Something great came. And suddenly there came from heaven a noise like a violent rushing wind, and it filled the whole house where they were sitting. And there appeared to them tongues as of fire, distributing themselves, and they rested on each one of them. That is like what you're describing in the movie, right?
And what happened?
What happened because of that? They all were filled with the Holy Spirit and began to speak with other tongues as the Spirit was giving them utterance. They go out, and you have the first gospel sermon preached by the Apostle Peter, and 3,000 souls were given eternal life that day by the power of the Holy Spirit.
Yes.
Ooh, continue on. Sorry about
now,
that.
Now, I'm actually glad you used the word fire, because that is the perfect segue into my next point, as Saphira is also an encourager. Someone, well, we'll talk about the definition of encouragement later on. You know, she... Well, let me just step back to the beginning of the movie. In this world, Galbatorix is a very arrogant dragon rider who betrayed his dragon riding friends. He left his first calling, and because of that, his evil rules the world. And those who are righteous, the Vardin, now they're not dragon riders themselves. They're just, you know, they respect more so than he did, obviously. They've gone into hiding. But there's this prophecy that comes through, and let's listen to what he has to say.
My king, Galbatorix, as you feared, the dragon has hatched. But to a mere farm boy.
To whom is not the issue? When the Vardin learn that the legend is real, they will be encouraged to challenge me. And I am not interested in being challenged.
Now, I love the fact that he actually uses the word encouraged.
Yes.
You know, and the prophecy is that once this dragon is hatched, the Vardin will rise up against that betrayer, who is Galbatorix, and he's not interested in being challenged, as he so distinctly puts it. Now, let's look a second at this word, encourage. What does it mean? Well, it's a French word, let me tell you.
Oh, French?
It is a French word. If we had a Monty Python...
It's French? Simpson, French, is it? No? Okay.
Now, it's you got three words there, in, core, Aj and courage. There we go.
I like it.
En.
En courage.
The en prefix means to make or put in, to place in. Cor, literally, that means heart. But it's also used as a type of slang for spirit and fire.
Hey!
Hey! Now where it gets, and the age at the end is the French suffix to express activity. Therefore, to encourage is to put the heart in, or just so we can better use the fire, just so we can better use the fire breathing dragon image, to put the fire in.
Awesome.
Now, if that's not a better, that's like the good fire breathing dragon as opposed to what's in the revelation, which is not what we talk about here. Like I said, Sephira's literal act of breathing fire against Durza's army, and this encourages the Varden, can serve as a metaphor for how the Holy Spirit puts the fire back into Christians as he dwells within us, and we fight off against the within the spiritual battle that we have. Number four.
I need to know, Sophia. Why me?
You choose a leader for his heart.
But I'm not without fear.
Without fear, there cannot be courage. But when we are together, it is our enemies who should be afraid.
Then are we together, Sophia?
As one!
Now, after he asks her, are we together as one, that sound, that is Sephira breathing fire for the first time.
Yeah.
Because we see Sephira grow up in the film. Like, she hatches from the egg at the very beginning, and in the end, we see her.
It has a major growth spurt.
Yeah, really fast. Like, I think over the course of a week.
No, it was like one flight.
Days. Oh, yeah, because she flies through the clouds.
Yep.
And when she's first learning to fly, and then it's like she gets struck by lightning.
Yeah.
And then, boom, here's Sephira the dragon.
She lands as a full grown.
She's like, hey, what? Yep. With a voice,
yes,
that can be understood by her writer.
Yes.
Now, in that little clip, we see for the first time we see Sephira breathing fire, and this encourages not only Aragorn, but it also encourages the Varden army.
Into the sky to win or die.
Now, you can't really decipher really what's happening in the clip from the audio, but, you know, Aragorn is riding Sephira down over the Varden army and right into Durza's army. Durza, he's the antagonist. He's the Shade, the evil magician, the Jafar, to use a Disney reference. He is leading this army to defeat the Varden. However, the Varden don't have a dragon. Well, more on that. They have a dragon, just not yet. But you can hear, after Aragorn yells fire, you can hear Sephira breathing fire on Durza's evil army. And then in this clip, you can actually hear the soldiers saying, yeah! You know, they've been encouraged. They've been, you know, put ready. They've been made ready for the fight. The fire has been put back into them. And with this, I got to point to the whole John 14 and John 15 passage that talks about the helper.
Please.
That comes, you know, after Jesus leaves. And the Greek word that we translate to helper is paraklete. Or
parakeet.
But not birds. No, not parakeet.
Oh, okay.
Parakletos. And I wanted to get this one right, so I looked at the Mount Reverse Interlinear New Testament. And if you haven't seen this this New Testament, it's really cool. They, like, every line is underlined with the Greek. And on BibleGateway.com, you can click on each word and see what it means.
Nice.
So I did that. And the paraklete, the capital P, paraklete, is one called or sent for to assist another, an advocate, one who pleads the cause of another, generally speaking, one present to render various beneficial service in the absence of a different being.
Oh.
And thus, the capital P, paraklete, is the influence and operation meant to compensate after the departure of Jesus himself.
Wow.
Now, and if that doesn't get you, if that doesn't get you fired up,
Oh.
If that doesn't get you fired up and ready to mount on the wings of eagles, then I don't know what does.
Amen. Wow. You know what? Okay, so again, your linchpin text, Isaiah 40, verse 31. But they who wait for the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall mount up with wings like eagles.
Like fire-breathing dragons.
They shall run and not be weary. They shall walk and not faint. It is so... I didn't read your notes, Brendan, but earlier today I was out and about and I happened to be looking through a Bible and I flipped it to Isaiah 40. And so I'm looking at it. Okay, this it's the Spirit working. Isaiah 40 is a very important chapter because we get the prophecy of John the Baptist, who is making way. Okay, and it starts, and this is God speaking through Isaiah, comfort, oh, comfort my people, says your God. Speak kindly to Jerusalem and call out to her that her warfare has ended, that her iniquity has been removed, that she has received of the Lord's, of Jehovah, of Yahweh's hand, double for all her sins. He has paid, made them pay. This is in the midst of great prophecies of woe and burden and terrible things that are going to happen. But now he's speaking comfort, and that reminds me of the best part of Christmas Carol is such a mind-blowing story.
By Charles Dickens?
Yes.
Okay.
And when Jacob Marley comes and visits Ebenezer Scrooge, and Scrooge says, speak comfort to me, Jacob. Speak words of comfort. And that always makes me think of this chapter. Comfort my people with what? A voice is calling. Clear the way for the Lord. Clear the way for Yahweh in the wilderness. Make smooth in the desert a highway for our God, for our Elohim, which is a plural word, right? Let every valley be lifted up and every mountain and hill be made low. These are people and governments and communities. And let the rough ground become a plain and the rugged terrain a broad valley. Then the glory of Yahweh will be revealed, and all flesh will see it together, for the mouth of Yahweh has spoken. And he goes on, call out, what shall I call out? This is, he's talking to John the Baptist. Make way for what? For the Messiah, for the first helper of Yahweh.
Yeah.
Man. So, you did great. That is, in fact, you know what the kids say?
Kids, one day we're just going to have a big old pizza party.
And this chapter is what, verse 31 is the end of this chapter. It completes that this whole thought that's going on. But they who wait for the Lord shall renew their strength. Man, you dig, that's excellent, great tool for sharing the good news of salvation in Jesus Christ. Brendan, any feedback, anything? I didn't get any email. Did you get anything? Any voicemails?
Nope, not today.
No?
No.
Well,
okay.
What do we do about that?
Let's move on.
The lightning round. Take it away, Mr. Brendan Taylor.
This week, you know, between rehearsals and between getting ready for this show and being very disappointed with Transformers, I was able to sneak in another documentary.
Okay.
This one's called Food Matters. It's a documentary that offers up some relevant information about how our bodies process certain foods.
Ooh.
Like, I didn't know this, but according to this documentary, our body processes most cooked foods as toxins.
Hmm.
And, like, doesn't absorb what is meant to be absorbed.
That's why we're always encouraged to consume raw vegetables. Raw foods.
Raw foods, yeah. Yeah, because meat included. Well,
mine red.
Some meats. that's why we like sushi so much.
Hey, there you go.
Because it's got the nice salmon.
Yep.
Nice salmon cuts and the tuna cut.
Let's go.
Now we're okay.
Okay, show's over.
All right. See you guys. it's a really, like, for me, it was eye opening because some of the stuff I didn't even realize what was going on, and it's almost like an expose.
How would people go about seeing this documentary?
Well, it is available at foodmatters.tv, www.foodmatters.tv. They've got it on there, or they have it available there. I streamed it on Netflix, so I didn't investigate on the website, but I'm sure you'd have to buy the DVD or at least pay something to stream it. But it's on Netflix. That's where I watched it, and it's pretty good. Another thing they bring up is how vitamin deficiency is not addressed in modern medicine anymore.
Really?
Really. Because, I mean, it makes the point that pharmacy companies would rather sell you...
Don't even get me started on big pharma... Well,
hold on. A pill for every ill.
Of course.
They would rather sell you that instead of encourage the use of vitamins and
There
minerals.
Is no bigger industry, Brendan.
Oh. So if you're interested, check out Food Matters on Netflix or just go to the website at www.foodmatters.tv.
And if you are like Brendan and I and are huge nerds when it comes to the scriptures and wanting to understand the deeper things of God, I'm going to suggest that you check out this blog that I read every single day called One in Jesus. It's a blog by Jay Gwynn. I think I'm saying that properly.
Either Gwynn or Gwynn.
Yeah, Gwynn or Gwynn. And it's
G-U-I-N.
That's correct. And it's part of the wineskins.org community of blogs. His site, oneinjesus.info. And you could go on there. He's an attorney and a theologian, smart as a whip, a kind-hearted soul that is only interested in understanding God's grace and love and mercy on a deeper level and bringing us all along for the ride. You could go to his website, use the search function, search for anything that you want, and I can guarantee you're going to get...
It's most likely on there.
And it's with many, many articles related to the subject. And so there you go, oneinjesus.info. No breaking news taking place? Hey, listener participation. We need some listener let me try that again. Where's my rewinder? I don't have my rewinder anymore. I lost my rewinder, Brendan.
Oh no. What?
Somebody came in and stole my rewinder.
How?
I borrowed it from another show.
Aha, yes.
We need some listener participation. We didn't get any last week, and so that makes us think that we're not doing our job. And so, Brendan, I have a good one this week, and I hope that this will stir some conversation with folks.
Okay, yeah.
Okay, the very opening lines of this movie that we watched today and we discussed, to me, have an incredibly powerful message that I think applies to us as believers and as the church body as a whole. Let's take a listen to this.
There was a time when the fierce and beautiful land of Alagasia was ruled by men astride mighty dragons. To protect and serve was their mission, and for thousands of years the people prospered. But the riders grew arrogant and began to fight among themselves for power.
Okay. Now, I know that we have some deep thinkers in the audience, so Ron of the Red Oaks, I'm looking at you.
Theonauts?
Yes, Theonauts, I'm looking at you. David Gaddy, Jeremiah, I'm looking at the patron saint, Doug Koontz.
Okay. Dougie.
We got some deep thinkers out there. So listen, here's what I want to ask you. What do these words mean to you, if anything at all? I mean, it's obviously meta-info, given a fuller understanding of where we are in the world of Aragon at this point, starting the movie, right? But can you find biblical principles in that? Can we find application in the, listen, Theonauts, in the unity of believers, as was so ably discussed on their recent episode? Perhaps it is Proverbs 16:18 being played out, and we're seeing the destruction that precedes pride. Maybe you are of the premillennial camp, and you see, what's the king's name? Galbatorix.
Galbatorix.
As the release of Satan after the thousand-year reign of Christ. So there's some ideas. Maybe you can think of something else that strikes you as something. It struck me as something very specific. Maybe we'll discuss that if anybody responds to this question that we're throwing out. Let us know your thoughts. and you can do that. We'll give you all the links in just a few moments here in order to contact us. Brandon, what are we going to do next time?
Well, we would love to do the next film in the Inheritance cycle.
Yes,
which is the complete series of books.
Are we going to skip a couple of movies and get back to it?
Well, I would love to, Michael, but we can't because no other films exist.
What?
I know.
Why? This has been since 2006. We're talking 7-8 years.
What you said.
Yes.
Yes. So instead of going to Eldest, because Eldest does not exist in the movie world, we're going to jump back on the Harry Potter train.
Yay!
kids, please.
Man, they were waiting for that.
And we will explore the magic.
There's no such thing as magic.
You know, I'm starting to like Uncle Dursley now.
I love him.
We'll be going.
I like how he dresses. I do.
That little hat.
And the sweater vest.
Yes. We'll be going into Harry Potter and the Prisoner of Azkaban.
Oh, man. My favorite character in this movie.
Yeah, mine too.
Oh, good.
And we have, as we discussed earlier before the show, we have different favorite characters.
We do.
Let's save it.
Okay.
Let's save it for the show. So that's what we're doing next. Harry Potter and the Prisoner of Azkaban.
Yay! And until then, you have been tuned into Finding Christ in Cinema, part of the Great Commission Transmission Network, using new media and social networking to go into all the world and proclaim the good news to everyone. To find out more and to partner with us, visit us at gctnetwork.com. You can get all the back episodes of Finding Christ in Cinema. You can get Brendan's Monday movie reviews. You can get my family movie night articles, all of that on the official website at christincinema.com. Send us an email, friends. Answer the question that I threw out to you by email if you'd prefer. You could do that by addressing it to fcc@gctnetwork.com.
Call us up on the voice line at 507-407-GCTN. And for those without letters on the phones, that's 507-407-4286. You can follow us at our new Twitter, at Christ in Cinema. And you can like us at our own very new, very standalone Facebook page. Facebook.com/Christ in Cinema.
You can also find us on Google Plus. Add us to your circles at google.com/the+ symbol. GCT Network, and subscribe to our YouTube channel. More videos coming soon over there at youtube.com/GCTNTV.
And if you just want the podcast, the good old traditional homegrown fully made podcast, you can listen to us at iTunes, you can listen to us at Stitcher, and you can listen to us at TuneIn Radio. Just search them all for Finding Christ in Cinema.
And make sure to go to the iTunes store and leave us a 5-star review for Finding Christ in Cinema. We sure would appreciate that, and that helps us to spread the gospel, the good news that we're finding in these movies. For all the things that are produced by the Great Commission Transmission Network, make your way over to the official website at gctnetwork.com. Brendan Taylor, anything else?
Well, first we were era here, and now we are era gone.
Oh, my goodness. And that is a wrap.
Come on, stop trying to hit me and hit me.
Wait a minute.
Magic.
Have you ever heard of Plato, Aristotle, Socrates?
Yes, morons.
I'm a miracle man.
It's a madhouse! A madhouse!
It is here on Finding Christ in Cinema. You are tuned in to the GCT Network.
This is your Great Commission. This is your Great Commission transmission.
At gctnetwork.com.
This is your Great Commission transmission.